On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, we catch it with one of local sport's big success stories. And it's possibly all down to Radio Newark Sport. Chris Hassell updates us on the latest road trip for the Jaguars. And there was only one person we could talk to for the preview for this weekend's big night of boxing. And she will...
smash it.
I'll do it with the mic up.
Smash it.
Megan joins us about 20 past seven. Hopefully, if she's got a phone on this week. Manchester City forward Raheem Sterling has verbally agreed a new five-year contract. His current deal expires in 2020 and earns him £120,000 a week. Once signed, the new contract will be around £300,000 a week, making him one of the highest paid players in the Premier League. Also announced today, the Football Association has written to a number of Step 3 and Step 4 non-league clubs, warning that they will be relegated if they do not make their dressing rooms larger. They currently need a minimum of 12 square metres in the 7th and 8th tiers of local football, but that will increase to 18 metres by the 31st of March 2019, and any club that fails to complete the work by the end of July will be automatically relegated. Furious, Hibs manager Neil Lennon called for the supporter who hit him with a coin during the Stormleague goalless draw in Edinburgh to be singled out. Lennon was struck on the jaw moments after appearing to celebrate Hearts having an injury time goal disallowed. Meanwhile, West Ham will launch an investigation into how there were two separate pitch invasions during Wednesday night's Carabao Cup loss to Tottenham at the London Stadium. Methinks we've probably heard that story before. And the Cricket Australia chairman David Peaver has resigned following a scathing review into Australian cricket and the ball tampering scandal. The report described the body as arrogant and controlling, and partly to blame for the incident in the Test match against South Africa in March. And if Mr. Smith can ever stop laughing, he can get his teeth into all those stories. Okay, I realise it's nothing to do with the Football Association what Manchester City pay Raheem Sterling. No. The point I made with both those two stories is, on one hand, a single player is earning £300,000 a week, and on the other hand, clubs that's worked tirelessly to get on the footballing ladder will be automatically relegated unless they can do something with their dressing rooms inside a year. And I know the full story. The FA did send this first one out in 2014. But come on. And I know what you think of the FA, and we're not going to mention the F word, but this just actually sums up what the Football Association actually think about grassroots football, don't it?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a complete disregard for grassroots football. They've tried to sell Wembley for £737 million, and we were told that all the money they received would go to grassroots football. And as it said in the programme in the flow serve,
there we go, hey, 6 minutes past seven.
As it said in the programme, there's more chance of the money going to grassroots football than the two cup finalists getting a fair allocation of tickets. It's ridiculous, it's a national mockery, that thing.
So you've got this wonderful club that dressing rooms are not big enough, and they probably can't get them any bigger. Probably planning permission, whatever, where they are, they can't do it. But they're adequate. They're more than adequate. So they're going to relegate them. Because that's going to then make a mockery of Step 5 football, because you're going to get some very good Step 4 clubs being automatically relegated.
My old love Stafford Rangers were told that they couldn't get promoted if they didn't have direct access from the director's room to the director's box at Marston Road, the home of Stafford Rangers. They had to go down the tunnel and then go up the stairs into the director's box.
Does it really matter?
And because of that...
Does it matter?
You know, it's just ridiculous.
Really, does it matter?
As for Raheem Sterling getting £300,000,
I don't blame him.
It's got nothing to do with Raheem Sterling,
no.
But it does remind me of a lovely thing on social media during the World Cup, where it said, if Raheem Sterling had have shot JF Kennedy, he would have been 101 today.
But he's still good enough for $300,000 a week. Very quickly, Neil Lennon celebrating the fact that Hearts had a goal disallowed.
He got hit in the jaw.
And somebody threw a pound coin at him.
How did they miss his mouth? You know, and as for this Australian cricket official called Peaver, that's the best line of the night.
Thought you might like that one. So that's put you off in the good mood. In the studio tonight, I have a Lincoln City supporter and I have a Leeds United supporter. So before we go any further, it's just time to remind you both that 40 years ago today, Forest beat AEK Athens 5-1 on the road to European Cup glory. That, my friends, is a club with a history. Moving on, and your mic's down.
Is that before Burton?
Your mic is down. I said history.
That's all Forest fans talk about.
No, you can shout as much as you like. Your mic's down. The Grove Squash Club was in trouble. They was suffering on the back of those at the old Grove Sports Centre, but they had to play in the school where nobody could go and watch them. Nobody knew they existed. And because of that, the numbers was dropping. Dropping to an alarming rate, to be honest. They came onto this show, and since then, it's all been progression, and everything in the world now is lovely. Even me, though, will admit, probably a little tiny bit of it is something to do with the fact that the new leisure centre, they've got two wonderful glass-fronted courts, and the whole world can see them play.
Pure coincidence.
That's what I thought as well. The man that's sort of overseen all this, because he was there in the dark days and he's now there basking in the glory of the Grove Squash Club. What are you shaking your head at? Because you was.
It's a team effort.
Yes, it is. Paul Drury is back with us. And Paul, when you first come in, that smile wasn't there. Now it's most definitely there.
It certainly feels different to 2 or 3 years ago, mate. There's no doubt about that. We had probably about 20 members, 25 members when we left the Grove. We've just started our third season now at the new leisure centre, and we've got around 60, 65 members in total, including juniors, ladies. The numbers speak for themselves.
And we're actually going to talk to one of your ladies just after half past seven. Nikki Smith has joined us, and she's going to tell us about her life and career in playing squash. She's look on her face. We should have a webcam in here. We really should. We're nipping out for a drink. But Paul, it's not an exaggeration to say it was the dark days, because I think if you'd stopped at the Grove for another 2 or 3 years, there maybe wouldn't have been a squash club.
It was an ageing membership. We were struggling. We didn't have a junior section. We was running three teams and struggling sometimes to get three teams out on a regular basis. But like I say, the transformation has been great since we moved. The facilities are good. There are around people. The teams come from all over Nottinghamshire, and they do comment on how good the courts are. But you've still got to offer the people what they want. So we offer them club nights, the juniors, the ladies now. So you offer them, the facilities are good, you offer them what they want, and they've turned up in the numbers.
Tony, squash, we've said before, haven't we, squash had its real heyday. Then it went onto the back burner, didn't it, for a lot of people. Mm. And now it seems to be rejuvenating, not just in Newark, but all over.
Yes, it's a sport that has some television access for a while, and I think that was during its heyday. But it's a very, very exciting sport if you know what you're doing.
That counts me and you out straight away.
If you don't, it's a very, very dangerous sport. I took on the Yorkshire champion at squash for a feature when I was working for a paper in Bradford, and it was the most terrifying 15 minutes of my life. before I got hammered to nil and just, you know, went for a drink with a very shaky hand. So honestly, it's scary as hell.
I bet you never dropped your drink, though, did you?
Oh, no.
You mentioned television. The coverage now on television is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, going back 20 years, you could hardly see the ball.
Yeah.
Now, they've got the whole glass court, and it's all illuminated, and the coverage on television now is absolutely fantastic. It really, really is.
How important is that, Paul? Because and last night Simon Horton was in Motorcycle and Sidecar, which, you know, you've got to be really on the edge for that one. But he was saying that the sport has really, it's still out there. But now it's not on Grandstand or the ITV version, what's not even on now, on a Saturday afternoon. It's lost the viewing public. Squash had it, lost it, but now, probably thanks to the Olympics, it's back again.
Well, that's the thing. We're not in the Olympics, and it looks like we never will get in the Olympics. It's just some of the sports that's got in front of us. I'm not demeaning any sport, but you know, we've tried the last three times to get in and been thrown back. We get good coverage when the Commonwealth Games are on. Mm. That's very good. But the coverage that we do get, whilst it is good, it's only like two major tournaments a year. So you get like the British Open, which is regarded as the Wimbledon of squash, really, the British Open. And the World Championship, and that's all you get on television, really. There's quite a few Facebook pages and things like that, internet sites that show it. But whilst it's on, it's not, you know, it's not major coverage, so it's not driving. No, that's the thing that's not driving the sport. The thing that's holding us back is Olympics. If we got that, it would really, really go.
I didn't realise it wanted the Olympics.
No, it's not. We've said the last three times it's been thrown back.
It's a world sport.
It is, yeah, yeah. I don't know. We honestly don't know why it's never happened.
Because of that, I assume then the actual governing body is not getting the money either.
No, the governing body is really, really struggling. The regional bodies have all closed down. It's now run virtually from Manchester, where the Commonwealth Games was run. There's no Midlands, East Midlands or anything regional bodies now anymore. It's all just run from one area. They are really, really struggling as an association.
Yeah, the sport at grassroots level is going from strength to strength.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. It's strange, and I think the facilities are getting better everywhere. I mean, where we go now, the clubs that we go to over around the county, a lot of them have been redone up. A lot of the leisure centres now are like the Grove, so they've got the glass back courts, and the children like that.
I like the Grove. He still calls it the Grove.
Yeah, And there's quite a few now that have been done up like that, and the kids just like the facilities, and it's exciting for them. They've got a glass back court, and they can watch, and they can see each other playing, and so the facilities do have had a major part to play in the resurrection of the sport.
Has it surprised you what's happened since you came on this show and incidentally moved to the new sports centre?
Since we came on here. To a degree, yeah, it has. It's a pleasant surprise. We've still got the main core of a lot of the players who were there two or three years ago, still forming the main core of the teams. But it's around the non-team players and the players that's sort of coming into the sport that the numbers have grown. And as a result of that, we've managed to start a fourth team this year in the Nottinghamshire League. Because of that, we had to drop the Lincolnshire League team because we just hadn't got the court time to fit everything in. So we've got four Nottinghamshire teams. We've got the ladies' club night on a Wednesday. We've got the men's or the adults' club night on a Monday. We've got the juniors on a Friday. There was just no other time we could get this extra fourth team in. So we had to sacrifice the team in the Lincoln League so we could free up that court time to play the extra Nottinghamshire team.
That's a shame because you used to enjoy reporting on the Lincoln League.
We did, yeah. We went up to the Premier last year, found it very difficult, but it was the same players that were playing in the Premier League in Lincoln that were playing in the Nottinghamshire League. So the idea behind it was that to drop the Lincoln team would give us court time to play a fourth Nottinghamshire team, which would give some of the other club players team time, which they wouldn't have got if we'd have had the Kept with the Lincoln team.
How's we'll talk about the ladies and the juniors in the next section. So, how's the courts settling in? How are they wearing? Because I know at the Grove, there was past the last legs and there was really just hanging on by string. These are now, what, 18 months old?
No, this is our third, starting our third year.
Is it that long?
Yeah.
Great. So, 3 years old, how are they holding up?
Really?
Really.
they get used for other facilities, for other sports as well and things as well. So they can sometimes when we go there, they can be a little bit, but they haven't been cleaned or what have you. We've been there when they've been used for meetings and it's used for a crash in the day as well. Mm-hmm. So they are. It is a multi. We knew that was going to happen when we moved there, because like in the day. Not many people play squash in the day. It's mainly when at night time, peak time is 5 o'clock onwards. And we have the courts then, from then on, but anything could have happened to them in the day.
But as you say, you knew that on day one.
We knew that. That was
and
the trade-off.
Given the choice, you would...
Yeah.
Yeah. Much rather exactly. Be where you are now.
It's interesting sometimes when we've got team matches and the dance studio's blurting out behind it. It gives team matches a different perspective.
Well, it gives you a beat, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
But the state of the facilities just does suggest that Mick's right in saying it was Radio Newark that sort of took you forward.
Exactly.
But I mean, on a serious note...
Oh, it was!
On a serious note, Mark Dobb came in here with four girls who wanted to play rugby and basically was put out an appeal on the Radio Newark sports show to get more girls to play rugby at Newark. Within 18 months, they were national champions. You know, we rest our case.
Simple as that. We resurrected the Grove Squash Club.
Despite our influence, they're doing well.
Okay, it's a massive night for Newark's young boxers this coming Saturday night at Farndon Village Hall, and of course there is only one person to tell us all about it. I was going to say it's Megan Smash It Williams, but I'm going to say welcome to the 15th best female adult K1 kickboxer in the whole of the United Kingdom. How good is that?
It's brilliant, yeah.
It's more than brilliant. Just tell us again, how old are you?
17,
and you're already broke into the top 15 in the whole of the UK.
Yeah.
What a fantastic achievement. Well done, Megan. And
thank you.
When you're celebrating the news, you've gone and injured yourself.
Yeah. I've had a problem with my back for a while, and I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks before I fought in Grantham. I had an MRI scan on it. And then I got my results back last week and it told me I had an inflamed disc and it's pressing on a nerve, so it's causing me quite a lot of grief. So what I'm going to do now, I'm having treatment on it with my sponsor, Gail Savage, who's a sports therapist, and she's fixing me up, and I'm hoping to be back training at the start of next year so I can rest it.
Good girl, and you make sure you do rest it, because we want... The 15th best kickboxer in the United Kingdom back out there. Megan, you're on tonight to talk about Saturday night. You're going to be there yourself, and it's a big night for Newark Amateur Boxing Club's youngsters because it's the hometown meeting. It's one I absolutely love because it Farndon Village Hall is going to be packed, and
yep.
It's going to be packed with people that we know from Newark. Just tell us about some of the Newark youngsters that's boxing, Megan.
Okay, so to start off the night, there's going to be, he's fought for Newark for a few times, and his name's David, and he's only 12, but he's a very experienced fighter. I know he's only 12, and he hasn't been boxing long, but he's been around the circuit for a long time, and he's one to watch, really, because he's got the skills, he's very dedicated, he's at the gym every week, every day, just training. Just learning everything. And it's the same with Alfie Briggs Price, who's beyond after him. So he's another good one. I think he's had like four fights and four wins. So he's on he's on the ball and he hasn't been fighting long. He's also 12, but they're exciting young lads and they're going to go through like their fights because their weights they're fighting at are very there's quite a lot of fighters in there, so they should be getting out quite regular, so it'll be good to watch how they improve. So after Alfie there's actually a female fight, Lauren Workman. She fights for Newark and it'll be her first amateur boxing fight, so she's had like a few kickboxing ones, like sparring, not real fight, but you know, just to get that in, that experience. And so it's her first one, so she's actually really looking forward to it. So she's on third. And then fourth is Sam Hardy, our national champion. So he's always exciting to watch. Still, he hasn't had many fights, but he's our national champion, and he's very skillful. And he's looking to, and his aim is to go into the Olympics when he's older. So being able to see maybe one of our future Olympic boxers fighting in Farndon is going to be huge. And then we've got another female fight, Chloe Davies. She's going to be her first boxing fight. And it's in Newark, so it's going to be even better because fighting in Newark's always amazing. And she's got the skills. She's been around like this on the circuit for a while. She's been training a long time, maybe 5 or 6 years, and she's only still 12 or 13, so she's doing really well for herself. She's down the gym, she's improving so much. It's ridiculous how much everyone's improving. And then after Chloe there's Mac O'Brien. So Mac O'Brien's had two fights and he fought on the last Farnham show, but he lost, and it was a good fight. But since that fight, Mac has improved so much. He had his second bout a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and everyone that I spoke to, it was like he was amazing. He was so good, like it was the best they had seen him. And then after Mac, there's two away fights, so we don't need to talk about them ones. And then there's Alfie Smith, so he's also from Newark, and it'll be his first fight. So that'll be very interesting because he's done a lot of sparring with some other clubs and he's been getting his own way, so which will be very interesting because he's quite an aggressive fighter, so he pushes and he presses, so it'll be good to see him out, you know, in a fight, see what he's really like. So there's a lot of questions to be answered. And then after that, there'll be Matt Kennedy. So I think he's fought for Newark once. He's had a few other bouts when he was younger at a different club, but it'd be his second one for Matt for Newark. And he's in his first one for Newark. He outboxed this lad. His footwork was amazing compared to his opponent. His punches, his movement was spot on. So it'll be very interesting to see him fight because I've never seen him fight, so that'll be really good. And then after Matt, there's Tom Watkins. It'll be his first bout, and it's in Farnham. He just can't wait for it. I've spoken to him about it. He's one of the people that I have been speaking to it because it's his first bout, and he's not very confident, but he just wants to get in there now, and he just wants to have a fight. So that'll be really interesting. And then after Tom, there's another bout from an away bout.
That we're not talking about.
Yeah, we're not talking about. And then there's Conor Meanwell. So a lot of Newark people do know Conor Meanwell because he's fought on all of two Farnham shows, maybe. And he's exciting, he's getting better. All the fighters on the card are getting better and they've gotten stronger. So I'm really, really looking forward to watching this card because I know since the last Farnham show, even though maybe people haven't fought on it, they want to be better than the people that did fight on it. And that's coming from me that fought on that show. So it could be one of the best shows they've got yet. We just have to wait and see.
I think you're right.
it'll be very good. And then ask the economy email, there's another away fight, so we don't have to speak about that one either.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Megan, as ever, a wonderful, wonderful report.
Yeah.
I take it all the tickets have probably gone, have they?
No, there's still some left. So obviously, if anyone's listening that wants to buy a ticket, then just message me on Facebook or message me on Instagram. So my Instagram's Megan Trouble and my Facebook's Megan Williams. Just message the ticket. For adults, it's £15, and for under 15s, it's a tenner. So it's a bargain, really, for the night of action you will be getting.
But to us, you are Megan.
Smash it,
Williams. Megan, we'll see you there on Saturday night. I'm having a ride over, bringing the Radio Newark camera, and we'll probably try and get some interviews as well, and we're going to have a cracking night. We'll catch you then.
Yeah. See you later.
See you later, Megan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. The wonderful Megan. Smash it, Williams. Tony, one for you here. The highest Step 6 crowd, Step 6 is where Flowserve play, in the UK this season so far is hashtag United against Benfleet, 470. That's the target that you've got to get the good people of Newark to beat, 470. Okay, oh, you're going to speak, are you?
Hashtag United?
Yes.
What the hell?
We know, like, Ebbs Fleet was owned for a time by everybody.
Give us an H.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, the fact is, it's 470.
Yeah, not bad. We got 154 on Tuesday night. On a cold Tuesday night. It wasn't that Stoke, but we proved we could do it on a cold Tuesday night.
The highest Step 5 is an Ilkeston Town match, 598. And our twin town of Whitley Bay, their highest, their Step 5 as well, is 330. Flowserve's in striking distance of these figures.
The lowest in the National League on Tuesday night was 952. So we're not
that
far away.
Maybe a long way to go. Anyway.
I'll just breathe out.
Let's remind ourselves of what's happened last weekend for one last time. And the aforementioned Newark Flowserve have hit 17 goals in two home matches to keep the pressure on leaders Selston. Collingham win on the road, Chris Fuller scoring twice on his return to the team. But it's four defeats on the bounce for the rugby players, the latest setback 25-13 at Loughborough. Danny Ashwell saves the hockey ladies' blushes with a single goal at Melton Mowbray, Market Harbour even, and they come back with all 3 points. Personal best for both our running correspondents at the workshop 10K. Graham Welsh and Dave Farger having a weekend to remember. Ed Howlett gets a bronze medal as he comes home for the weekend at the competition in Nottingham. And finally, a bad Saturday for the city of Southwold. The footballers lose the local derby to Bingham while the rugby players ship 63 points at Matlock.
Radio Newark Sport.
And now we've got to the highlight of the evening. The bit that we've all been waiting for, and she's really been waiting for it herself. Welcome to Radio Newark Sport, Nikki.
Thank you.
You've become part of the Grove Squash Club's revolution, really, haven't you? But you was telling us before the show started that your squash playing days go back a little bit more than the last couple of years. So let's have the... let's have the sporting life of Nikki.
Well, I wouldn't call it a sporting life. I suppose, so I started playing, I think it was around when I was about 11. My dad played squash when I was younger. He always played in the league at Grantham. And he got me into it and taught me it to begin with. And I joined the Grantham Club and I used to play in the under-16s league. So I probably played between the age of 11, 16, but 11 to 14 probably on a more regular basis. And then I went away to college, picked my racket up on and off over the time, over the years again, wanted to start playing. But the difficulty, as we've identified earlier, is actually squash was in, then it was out, and it was actually finding people who you could play against, and particularly as a as a woman as well, or as a younger female, it's finding like-minded females, because I don't mind playing against men, but I'm aware a lot of women don't necessarily like playing against men, or it's finding those like-minded people. It was quite difficult. So over the years, I've played for a bit and then put my racket back down and then picked it up. And I suppose fast forward to now, I've probably had a bit of a midlife crisis and at the age of 50 picked my racket back up again stupidly. And that was really from belonging originally to the Grove. I didn't play at the Grove recently. I did a few years ago, but I haven't played there recently. But when it moved to the new leisure centre and they'd got the new facilities, and it was far more visible, the courts at the Grove weren't visible, so it was never kind of at the forefront of your mind. So I had nobody to play, so I got my husband interested in it, and he'd never picked a squash racket up at all. So I kind of bumbled through trying to get him playing, and we were just knocking around on the court. And as a result of that, I met Paul because of the juniors, because we got our son involved in the juniors team, which or club night on a Friday. So our son started playing there, and chance conversation with Paul one evening down on a Friday night was around women playing, and Paul had obviously realised that I was trying to play again and knocking about with my husband. So that was a chance conversation, and from there I think there were about four of us, about 7 or 8 months ago, about four of us, a couple of the mums of other children that played on a Friday, and then a couple of partners of the men's squash team who were interested in playing. And I don't know how it kind of went from there, really. That chance conversation, the few of us got together. Paul very kindly comes and coaches us. And we've just been able to encourage others as we've gone along, and people have brought their friends. And we've now got a core group of about 14 or 16 ladies of varying abilities. Probably 75% of them had never picked a squash racket up before 8 months ago. And we've got this core group. We meet on a Wednesday, 7:40 down at the Grove, or the new Newark Leisure Centre, as it is.
We call it the Grove.
We call it the Grove. Everybody calls it the Grove, yeah. Don't they? So we meet down there, 7:40 on a Wednesday, and every other week, Paul very kindly comes down and does some coaching with us, which is brill, because obviously we've got very new starters and we've got people of varying capability and abilities. And it's not just all us oldies, we've got all age groups as well. Paul coaches us once a fortnight, and then on the between weeks, we kind of have a knockabout and arrange it between ourselves. We have both courts and we have them for 40 minutes. Sometimes we carry on longer if nobody's on after. And everybody's so enthusiastic, the girls now. It's addictive. It's an amazing game. I absolutely love it. And I mean, I've been out with injury recently, but just getting back again now. But it is what it is. And you can't sit and watch it and not want to play if you've played squash. So we've got a really good core group. We've got our WhatsApp group. I think we're a bit ahead of the men now, because we've got our own WhatsApp group. We have our own social nights. So once a month, the social secretary, for want of a better word, in our group sorts a night out for us ladies. So we've got a great social group as well, which is really good for some of the mums that are coming and with younger children who are managing to get out on a Wednesday night and come and join us. Most recently, we've now started a league. So for some of the ladies that have progressed and want to, and it's not all about the competitive nature, but there are some amongst the group of us that are competitive. So we've now got two leagues going, a Premier League and a First League. That's just run its first course. And we've also now are about to do a handicapped winter knockout. So for that, it is for the ladies, but we've also incorporated some of the older juniors from the Friday night, because it's a big leap from a Friday juniors to the Monday night adults. It's a huge leap with it. So we kind of view the ladies as an intermediate group, and we're encouraging the better juniors to come through to, hopefully on a Wednesday, but certainly with our handicapped knockout.
You must be in dream world, Paul. really were. I mean,
really?
16 of them now. That, from no ladies' section, not even a possibility of a ladies' section, to 16 of them, and they've got a WhatsApp group, which is more than you.
Tell me.
And they go out on social events, which doesn't mean you've got to go and watch Lincoln City play. It's just brought vibe to the club. It's brought competition to the club. And in this modern age, when you cannot have a men's team, you have got to have a ladies' section and a junior section, because that's what it's all about now, and that's their comment. As I said, you must be in heaven.
The way they've come on in the last six months, it's phenomenal. It really, really is. Our coach from last year, Phil Hyatt, unfortunately had to pack up in the summer. Give him a lot of credit for the early days when he came down on a regular basis the first few months to get them started. But like Nikki says, it is the way that they picked it up, and the enthusiasm that they show on a Wednesday night, they absolutely love it. It's great to see.
They let you coach them, but won't they let you go in the middle of the WhatsApp group?
No.
That's awful, isn't it?
My wife might be listening to this, so just be careful what you say.
After 8 o'clock, we'll explain to Tony Smith what a WhatsApp group is, because he's looking here completely and absolutely bemused. How far down the line is it before they start playing other clubs then?
That's a good point.
I mean, that's got to be the goal, isn't it?
At the moment, in Nottinghamshire, there is no ladies' squash league.
None?
No.
That's scandalous.
The numbers have dropped off over the last few years. There's a few teams which enter the men's league. So places like the Park will enter teams in the Nottinghamshire men's league. The rest of the clubs incorporate the ladies into the men's team, so they might have a couple of ladies within a men's team, but there is no ladies league within Nottinghamshire. I don't think there is in Lincolnshire either.
So now, not only have you got a ladies section, but you're leading the way.
That's the next challenge.
Tell me about either of you, tell me about the youngsters. Nikki, tell us about the youngsters.
Well, again, there's a huge variety in ability and age. We regularly get 10,
we've got
15.
We've got 18 signed on, depends on how many turn up weekly.
But regularly around 10, or 12
Friday. Easily,
And again, there's some real young ones who, you know, are only just bigger than the rackets, who are absolutely brilliant, hitting the ball, not giving it a thought, just enjoying what they're doing. And the thing I think for juniors that it brings as well is, for those children that aren't into football and rugby, like my son isn't, you know, and he went through primary school suffering because he didn't play rugby or football, never bothered about it. He plays squash, he does something different, and it just gives him that little bit of confidence that I might not be able to play that team sport, but actually I can pick a squash racket up and run round a court and hit a ball other people don't do.
The one thing that Tony and I have learnt, been sitting here for the last 2.5 years, there's a lot more sports out there apart from rugby and football.
Very much so.
And there's an awful lot of youngsters now being allowed to play these things. I suppose now, Paul, the problem is you need more than two courts.
Well, yeah, but where that's going to happen, I do not know. We are struggling for court time. As I explained earlier with with having to drop the Lincoln team. It's not just the fact that we need court time for the team matches, but the players need to be getting games in the week as well. You can't just play team matches once or twice a week. You need to get practice matches in and training nights in as well. So there's all that court time to fit in. And it's a good problem to have, let's put it that way.
And with the Ladies League, we've now got even extra court time being taken up because they're now playing the league matches and they're all so excited about it. They are playing the matches.
And we are mindful as well that it's a public facility. So, anybody can still book a court if they want to, we don't want to hog all the court time, you know, because somebody might just come along, give it a try, and then say, oh, I like this, I'll join the Grove. So that's another way that it works that way for us as well. So if that court time wasn't available for the public, we probably wouldn't get all these new members that we have done.
But it's not closed either. We would welcome any more ladies that want to come along on Wednesday.
The club, exactly, yeah.
And you know, make it bigger and better than from where we are now. We welcome anybody that wants to come down and give it a go.
How many got in the men's section?
We've now got around, I would think, nearly 40.
So 16 ladies.
Yeah, we've got over about 60, 65 members now.
As I keep saying, you're in dream world, aren't you? Because it was six when we first started.
We got one team out, yeah, you're right, yeah. Yeah. We had, this year, a whole team move from Southall Leisure Centre to join us. So it was a Southall team last year. It's now our third team this year. They like the facilities better at the Grove.
And that, folks, is the power of Radio New York Sport. And straight to the phone lines, and as we keep saying, and as Tony told you in the other night, if a footballer can't go 20 miles, listen to this story from Chris Hassel and the Jaguars Wheelchair Basketball Club. Chris, where was the away match last weekend?
So the away match last weekend for Jags 1 was in Scotland. So they went to Glasgow, to a team called the Glasgow Rocks. It was good. A long way.
Just
700-mile round trip.
Just tell our listeners, if you would, Chris, what that entails. What is the weekend? What was the weekend for the Jags 1?
So the weekend was Saturday was journey up there. Saturday night was night out on the town in Glasgow. And then the guys played at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And I think they got home about 8 o'clock on Sunday night. So it was a bit of a toughie. But it was a good game. So game-wise, we got beat 57-42, which to get beat by 15 points by Glasgow by that team, because they are a very, very good team in Scotland, is not a bad showing. We were a lot closer than that 15 points at one point. It got, at the end of the third quarter, we were only 4 points behind, but unfortunately in the last quarter they pulled away a little. But the guys enjoyed themselves, come back home, and then bizarrely, the next fixture for Jags 1 this Saturday at the Magna Sports Centre, if you want to come along, 2 o'clock, is actually against the Glasgow team themselves. So we went up there last week and they're coming down to see us this week.
Fantastic. Chris, I don't know if you're moving around a bit, mate. I've just lost the end of that.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, as I said, I've got you back. Jags 2, Jags 3, the juniors, what else is happening?
Yeah, so Jags 2 should be playing the Wakefield Whirlwinds this weekend. Obviously a bit closer to us. And then in a couple of weeks' time, the Jaguars juniors, so that's the sort of under-18s, between 13 and 18, they start their, if you like, campaign for this season. They're in a sort of divisional league to start with, and then if they do well in that, they get to the National Championships finals next April, May time of next year.
If anybody wants to come and have a look at Jags 1 against the Glasgow Rocks,
yes,
that's not a problem, is it, Chris?
No. Please feel free. So it's at the Magna Sports Centre at 2 o'clock this Saturday. Just come along. We won't charge you anything. You can come and sort of watch the game, cheer us on. Please feel free to come and see some really good top-quality basketball. That's National League Division 1.
And if anybody out there is thinking, oh, wheelchair basketball, it can't be up to much, I suggest you go and watch it and then pass an opinion, because
absolutely,
it can,
totally agree,
and often is brutal. It really
can
is.
Be,
and the skill level is tremendous. I've tried it, and I no way. I just cannot do it. The skill level is absolutely tremendous. 2 o'clock.
Jaguars Wheelchair
against the Glasgow Rocks.
At the Sports Centre. Come along.
Come along and have a look at it. Did Glasgow travel well?
Fairly well. We're only at the start of the season, so they've got off to quite a good start this season.
Because we would expect
it will be a tough game.
Both your top teams got promoted, last time, so it's a wonderful season last season, but it's hard work this time round.
Exactly. That's often the case when you get promoted from one league to the next, with the same team, unless you grow your team or you bring somebody in who's new. Obviously, it's a tougher league to be in. So, we're having to dig deep this year, that's for certain.
Good stuff. Chris, I'll see you for half an hour on Saturday. Anybody get down there, get down and support Newark's Premier Wheelchair Basketball Club. Chris, a couple of weeks' time, we'll be back with you.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Okay, thanks,
Thank
mate.
You.
Have
thanks,
a good
Chris.
Week.
And you. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye. The wonderful Mr. Chris Hassell. Tony, very quickly, this weekend begins at 2 o'clock with the Jags. After that, under the FlowSafe floodlights, I should think, now, because it's getting dark.
Second half, certainly, yeah.
FlowSafe will be playing Kimberley. Craig Rose wanted 9 points. They've got six. They're going for the nine.
The weather forecast is great.
Well, we need to beat 470 then.
Let's get four figures down there.
I expect a big crowd at Station Road on Friday night for the Collingham versus Newark Town derby in the Central Midlands. That should be a cracking match. So, attracted 200 plus last time round. So, let's see what it gets this one. Newark Rugby Club are at home. They welcome old friends Market Raisin to Kelham Road. And, it's going to be a tough game because Market Raisin are second in the table and Newark's just got 40 feet on the bounce, so it'd be a good time to bounce back, wouldn't it? The hockey ladies travel to Nottingham University while the men are at home to Nottingham University. 12:30 start for that, so I reckon I could be the Magnus for quite a while on Saturday afternoon. On Sunday, the veterans, including our very own Mr. Paul Halfpenny, play the City of Peterborough at the Magnus Sunday afternoon. Back to football, it's Limby under-18s against Newark under-18s. The big one in that division, though, because remember we're following Farndon and Newark, the big one is league leaders Long Bennington at home against third-placed Farndon Colts on Saturday morning. So that's going to be well worth a look. It's the Robin Hood 10K on Saturday for our runners and the National Cross Country Relays as well. And, of course, we heard on Tuesday night, that's where the twins are going to be, amongst other members of Newark AC. It's the Sports Hall Mini League on Sunday for the juniors. And we finish off right at the top, of course, with the Rugby Club girls, who have a trip to Lutterworth on Sunday afternoon in their final warm-up match before the big cup clash with Mansfield. Ooh. Anybody thinks that rugby for the girls is an angelic little afternoon out?
Lock up your sons.
I suggest you go and watch Newark against Mansfield, under-18 girls rugby. I mean, seeing those two meet each other before.
Is that where they leave the ball off for the first 20 minutes?
No, they don't bother with the ball. Full stop, end of it. It's a brilliant spectacle. And of course, the Rugby Club girls, much like the Grove Squash Club, are flourishing mainly because of Radio New York. Paul, season, where are we?
The squash started, really.
Just started?
Yeah, first month, October. The first team have played a couple of games. Unfortunately, they've been hampered by an injury to their captain, Chris Gibbons, who's going to be out for a while. So they're drafting players up from the second team. But they've played two. They've lost them both narrowly. So my team, second team, we're playing away at South Wall 1 tonight. We've won one, lost one. Third team, which was the Southall team last year.
Have you been dropped from tonight's team?
I've dropped myself.
You've dropped yourself. Okay, right.
I can't get in nowadays. Thank goodness. So yeah, the third team, which was the Southall team last year, they're in Division Three. They're mid table. They played four, I believe. They're mid table, so they're doing okay. And the highlight really is the fourth team. They're in Division 5 and they've got off to a flying start. They've won their first three matches, so they're riding high at the top of the league at the moment. So and that's the team which we call on from the Monday night club night players. So that's people that have fed into the club who have not necessarily played team squash before, giving it a go, and they're all progressing. So these are the pool of players that we're going to call on.
Is that the team that the ladies are going to break into?
Quite possible. Absolutely. There's no reason why they can't.
Because we've got to set them a target, haven't we? You know, we need to set the target that we need at least one of these ladies to be playing competitive squash.
Well, it happened last year.
By the time you come back in.
We had one of the juniors play for the fourth team. One of the girls play for the fourth team last year. So I suppose the aim is to feed some of the ladies and also again try and feed some of the juniors into the fourth team.
Shall we define that target and give Nikki that that one. Your target for the season is to break into competitive squash. And when you both come back and see us in the spring, you're going to be playing competitive squash.
Me personally?
Yes.
At my middle-aged crisis?
Yes.
You know, the radio knew at Magic
Club. Yeah, absolutely, clearly. It's going to take me back 30 years. I mean, it would be lovely, wouldn't it, for one of the ladies, if not more, to break into that level. When I look at how we've come on from where we were six or seven months ago, there's real potential in the team, and there's potential for other people, regardless of ability, how much they've played or haven't, to join us and help take that forward, and that would be the aspiration. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the benchmark is we had about 30 years ago, we had a girl called Alison Goy. You probably remember Alison. Well, she was one of the prodigies of the Grove Juniors, and she now plays all over the world in the Masters events and still winning. So that's the bar.
That's the bar. So anyway, it's been fantastic to hear of a club that's on the up. Absolutely. It's turned itself around completely. I may have mentioned, thanks to this radio show, but it's turned itself around completely, and it's going, and it's great. So it's, he used to smile about Lincoln City. He's now smiling about the Grove Squash.
Still smiling about Lincoln.
We've got through 56 minutes without even mentioning Lincoln City.
We are top of the league, by the way.
Yes, I thought, did I mention that 40 years ago? Anyway. Thank you both for coming in. Thank you both for giving up your time and talking to us. And it is absolutely fantastic to hear a good news story. Tony, some more matches for this weekend, which I omitted for the thing, just taking it around, because I know people out there follow non-league football quite a lot. It's the FA Vars second round. Three matches I've picked out, mainly for my own benefit. Winterton Rangers played Dunstan. Remember Dunstan 2 weeks ago played Gateshead in the FA Cup? They're now playing in the FA Vars second round. Eastwood, who Flowserve beat on Tuesday night, they're away to Quorn. They're still in the Cup. And my little Cornish adventure, Falmouth Town, there at Hamworthy. In the Evo Stick League, Grantham Town are at home to Warrington. It's really about time Grantham Town got a win, but it's not going to be easy against Warrington. And Stafford Rangers play Gainsborough. Maybe it's not the time we mention Stafford tonight. Anybody think we're twinned with Stafford? In the Northern Counties East...
Let me know, it's Whitley Bay.
In the Northern... No, we haven't mentioned them. In the Northern Counties East League, Skegness Town play Ollerton Town.
Well, just going back to Grantham Town, Warrington, Grantham beat Warrington in the playoff, playoff semi-final.
I think times have changed a little bit. In the United Counties League, it's a tasty local derby, Harrowby United against Bourne Town. And talking of local derbies, in the Northern League, it's North Shields against Whitley Bay.
And you can, I thought they were coming up somewhere.
And you could throw a stone between them two. And the two matches...
You usually do up there.
The two matches that you're looking out for... Selston, league leaders Selston go to Arnold Town. That's a gimme. And Barrowtown play Sherwood. Now that's going to be harder. So that leaves us with what have we learned this week on Radio Newark Sport?
Not much. We still come back.
Well, we have learned in between the interruptions, we have learned that Becky Gallup has now officially joined the 100 top elite runners at half marathon. She's in the 100 in the UK. Fantastic achievement. We've learnt that Simon Horton managed to stay injury-free, apart from the two broken ribs when he come off his bike and the sidecar. And we've also learnt that that is one hell of a sport. We've learnt that the future's bright for the Grove Squash Club. Very, very bright. We've learnt that our two correspondents who talk to us every single week, Graham Welsh and Dave Farge, both got personal best in the workshop 10k, and the twins had their 17th birthday last weekend, and Dad's letting them loose on the road. They are learning to drive. The twins are driving. RHP Colts, Never Give Up Attitude, and My Stars of the Week, as are the Jags basketball team, A Simple Matter of an Away Match in Glasgow. That's it, we've finished, we're out of here. Bye bye.